1 to 14, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." This is the word of God. Now we get to introduce Dan. We love Dan. Dan's connection to our church, it began in 1987. When he met my dad, Rod, at Bible school in Australia. 1987, that's right? Yeah, back when they were in their prime. But if we're going to be honest, they're still in their prime. Very good-looking guys to this day. Anyways. Dan married his wonderful wife, Julia, in 2013, and he said this, "She is the best gift he ever received since saying yes to Jesus as a child." Dan was a teacher for his career and recently retired and has been supply teaching and speaking at various churches, but as of recently, he is our new interim pastor. Let's give it up. It's been an actual real blessing to get to know Dan recently, especially as I've started to kind of find my calling. He's been pouring into me a lot, and he's somebody that I look to, and I'm like, that guy, when I'm his age, I want to be that fired up. When we came up here to pray as a group, he came up to me, he's like, "Man, I'm so fired up." There was something about he wanted to wedgie me. But he's fired up. On my way here this morning, I was just thinking about why Christians need to be fired up. Because often where there's a lack of joy, there's usually a lack of Jesus. And I was thinking the born-again Christian, you literally firsthand get to see your own life go from a life of sin and death and darkness on a road to destruction. You get to see that transformation from death to life right in front of you. And it's amazing. It brought me to tears on my way here this morning. So that's kind of the passion that Dan gives off to those around him. We're super happy to have Dan here. Let's give Dan a warm welcome. Let's hear his message.
Thank you, Eli. You've been sitting well for a long time, and I know that most of you have to go to the washroom right now, so I will be brief, but I want you to stand up and just look someone in the eye. Just have to stand up with me and look someone in the eyeballs and just say, "I'm so glad you're here." All righty, you can join us. I want to make sure that I can be seen and heard. I had a couple of people come up to me last week and say, "You faded out a few times." So if you can't hear me, I'm going to leave it up to my buddy Kevin Horsberg way up top. Give me a wave, Kev, if I'm only seen but not heard. I love the masterpiece theme that you guys have brought to today. And my masterpiece, my 2001 prelude, We call it in my house the precious because I love it so much. It finally died on my way here. And my favorite car ever that I bought in 2001 when the Twin Towers came down and I thought it was the end of the world, my 2001 Prelude is done. But it's going to rest here at Cook's Garage until one of the mechanics named Riley resurrects this thing from the dead, and I hope you see it around town. That would bring joy to my heart. And thank you, Rod, for letting me borrow the Odyssey. So I went from a Prelude to an Odyssey. The Odyssey is amazing. I call it the COVID car. Only the essential things work. Everything else is locked down on it. Rod brings me out there and goes, well, you can't open that door, and you gotta, and like a PhD discourse later on the vehicle, and okay, Rod, am I going to make it? The car did well, Rod, but I have to confess, after that video, you got to be open and honest about your sinfulness. Boy, I felt convicted, Rod. I woke up this morning excited to come to church. It rained a little bit last night in Oakville, a little bit, and I got to the car and I left the sunroof open. So, Rod, if it's a little cleaner than it normally is, thank the Lord, brother. All right, so I'll unpack that later. And for those of you sitting up top, you're involved in this, but you'll discover that to be in church today and to come down nice and close at pace, $10. Free gift for whoever wants this today. I know Kevin Horsberg's looking at this going, this is the down payment on my next farm. Beautiful. Chris Cranston's going, you can probably get a couple of golf balls with that today. And you know those little communion, yeah, those little guys? That's about as much petroleum as you're going to get in your car for 10 bucks today. But it's still valuable. And back in my day, when we were younger, it wasn't, I am second. Those of you who were born in my day, it was, remember the badges? I found it. Remember that movement? The I found it movement. Somebody said, I got an idea. I want to create conversations about Jesus. I'm going to wear a button. Huge campaign in the 70s. I found it. What did you find? Next, WWJD, the bracelet. That's the 80s and the 90s, right? What would Jesus do? I always had a little problem with that campaign because the presupposition was always, what would Jesus do if... Your work with me, dude. Just, I'm not asking the new guy. Finish the sentence. What would Jesus do if? Oh, for crying out loud. Let me help you, class. What would Jesus do if he were here is the presupposition. And the truth is he is. Right here. Right now. In you. In me. Omnipresent. Omniscient. God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob makes himself known in the person of Jesus. So anybody want 10 bucks? Come and get it. If you want it, you got to come and get it. The gospel, someone, I see the hand of the back, God bless you. But you got to walk the aisle if you want the 10 bucks. If you want the 10 bucks, yep, you walk the aisle Billy Graham style, and you come and get the 10 bucks. All right, beautiful. What's your name?
Lily.
Lily. I think Lily's ready for either Halloween or Easter. Or don't touch the ears, man. Bad idea. Lily, $10. Is that legit? It probably is, right? I'm not going to. You got the purple shirt. Lily, if I took that now and messed it up and stepped on it and put a bit of horse manure on it and really, you know, messed it up, would you still want it? Lily just asked me, even though it's been smashed and ruined and manures on it, she just asked the question, is it still worth something? Who can answer that? Why? You got to get it right this time, brother. You were up there stealing my time. Now you got to help me.
It is still worth $10.
Because? Oh, here we go.
Well, the Queen's face is on.
Now we're getting to the... It is worth $10 because of the image that resides on the bill. And my dear friends, regardless of what happens to you and me in our lives, you are still the masterpiece because of the image that is on you. And the image on you, Lily, is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who created you and made you in his image. And the Latin term is called the Imago Dei. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Thank you, Lily. But if you're honest, thanks, Lily. If you're honest, is that Lily's mom? Good. We're going to use you in a second. Sit tight. Lily's like, get the $10, man. I got to fill up the tank. If you're honest, there are moments in your life where you second-guess that image, and you don't realize the love and the beauty God's created you. And even worse, you don't treat other people like that. And the Bible goes on to use this beautiful Hebrew phrase, one of my favorites. And the Hebrew phrase, Lily, what's your mom's name? Louise, Lily and Louise, L factor. The Hebrew phrase is the apple of my eye. Imago Dei, image of God, the Hebrew takes that and uses the phrase, the apple of my eye. And it's not a great translation because the apple of my eye is a trite phrase that we kind of get it, but the Hebrew has a really beautiful way of demonstrating that. And Louise, if you look into your daughter's eye, you can do that right now, and you look really close, yeah, I like that. Do you know what you see, Louise? You see a little image of you. That's what that means. Where's that gorgeous little baby? I was going to use that, but it's gone. Noah, if Rod looks into your eye, that's a Ford, sorry. That's a Ford. Ford is a very big image of Rod. And where's Eli? I guess he's in his prime, Eli, or are you? We lost her. If Rod looks at Ford, he sees an image of himself. And when God looks at you and me, he's looking for that image, okay? And we want to live like that. And when you look at the life of Jesus, and you notice Eli keeps hammering that nail. He always gets you right back to Jesus. I really want to take the second theme, and I want you to think about a mirror today. Does anybody have one of those little mirrors in your man bag, purse, whatever? Does anybody carry one of those just to make sure you're okay? Do you have, someone's got, you got a mirror in your purse? I love this. What's your name? Faith? You're nothing short of adorable. Look, oh my goodness, Faith, stand. They can't see you over there, Faith. Can you just wave? Oh my gosh. All right, Faith, you're adorable. Thanks for the mirror. Your name?
Stephen.
Pleasure, Stephen. Thanks. Laura. Thanks, Laura, for letting me use your dad. I don't want to embarrass her. I love the mirror. Because you can, like our culture right now, you can spend a lot of time staring at that and be self-absorbed. You can. There's a lot directing. Or you can take that mirror and you can let that mirror zone in on the Lord Jesus, created in his image, and you can reflect his image to everyone around you. And Jesus does that. He reflects the image of God throughout his life. And every time when we read, thank you so much, every time we read about Jesus, he's reflecting the person, the image, and the greatness of God. The hymn writer writes this, I love it. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star. It reaches to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, every human a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. We have a written word. We have a written word, and we have a living word. And the written word is always, always pointing us to the living word who's here and now. And sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him. Is that interesting? a great crowd. You know why a great crowd of people follow Jesus? There's always people following Jesus. And I love this record. Sometime after this, you ever wonder after this, after what? What was going on? Jesus had sent his disciples two by two to change the planet. Don't bring anything. Don't bring extra clothes. Just go door to door and love people and watch what I do through you. I will provide. I'll provide. And when you read sometime after this, they went on this incredible mission trip. People got saved. Demons were cast out. People were healed. It was an incredible activity of God. And we love that. But at the same time, just after this, just before Jesus fed the 5,000, John the Baptist lost his head because he spoke the truth to power. Get ready, friends. Oh, the miracles are great. People coming to Jesus is great. I love to celebrate the New Testament action of God himself, but it comes with rocks, it comes with crosses, and it comes with your head getting cut off if you speak the truth to power. Just saying. Just saying. After this, it's a beautiful eyewitness account. As you read the Bible, you go, this doesn't read like a literary book. This isn't Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. This isn't good literature. It's truth being reported by an eyewitness. A great crowd followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountain, sat down with the disciples. The Passover was near. Let's take a break. I know ministry is hard. I know you're busy. I know you've been on the websites. Ministry people know when to rest. Know when to get alone in the thin space, in the quiet place. Know when to be with God alone. He brings the disciples away to rest. But while you're resting, don't put do not disturb on the door because you might get distracted by the crowd who's running to you because you look so much like Jesus. They want a part of what's going on. This is our goal for First Baptist. We want people to encounter Jesus. And like this crowd, we want them to rush to Christ. You see, there's a small little lake there. They could see Jesus taking the boat across. He'd done it many times with the disciples, and they got excited thinking, where's he going? We want to be near him. So they ran, recklessly followed him around the lake. If you can imagine, they're kind of sailing or rowing, and they can see this crowd, and it's running because they know where he's going. It's a little chaotic. We find out in a moment, they're so excited about being around Jesus, they don't even bring any food. They got nothing, and they're coming, and the Jewish Passover was near. Oh, I love that. Please go home this week. Read the Passover. You can't make this stuff up. The Passover is that moment where the angel of death came through the camp. The Exodus is all about the eradication of slavery. There's a lot of conversation about slavery and race today. God is the God who says slavery is no good. I will eradicate that. He brings the Jews out of slavery. On their way out, he says, you're going to have a meal, but before you do anything, I want you to take a basin. You want to make a sacrifice, and you want to take that blood, and I want it on the doorposts and the lintel. And look at that beautiful picture of blood on doorposts and lintel. Of a God, the only God who says, I will come and answer Isaiah. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and just come down. And he says, I will. It won't be a conquering king this first time like you think. It'll be a suffering, dying, bloody, bruised sacrifice that will save the world. And in 3 days, there'll be a resurrection moment that will empower you to bring my gospel to the nations. It's beautiful. So when you read that, the Jewish Passover festival was near. It would just give you that beautiful reminder of a cross and a God who redeems and a God who rescues. And when Jesus saw the crowd, while they were resting, my ministry friends, he saw the crowd. He wants to help. Philip, where do we buy people for these people to eat some bread? Jesus knew what he was going to do. He gave Philip a little test. Jesus has great tests in life. Wants to see if you are ready for the challenge. He will give it to you over and over again if you fail. So don't worry. There's always chances to take him again. And of course, Philip It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough for any of these people to have a bite. It's impossible, Jesus. You know, they just went on a ministry trip. They just saw the I Am Second data. They saw his activity. They know. And in a moment, Philip becomes what's called a functional atheist. I'm with Jesus. I know Jesus. I've seen him work. But come on, Jesus, really, you're going to do it this time? Do you do that? Do you second guess him sometimes? I do. And then Andrew. I love this. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Eli, Ford's brother. Dan, Tom's brother. Any little brothers here sitting in the shadow of the big brother? It's amazing, right? I was always Tom's little brother when I went to high school. Then I got a little taller, which was good, so I was bigger now. And Andrew's got one MO in the scriptures. If you follow Andrew, you know what Andrew does? At the beginning, Andrew says, hey, Peter, I think we found the Messiah. He grabs him, he drags him to Jesus. And then there's some Greeks, and they're looking for Jesus, and they say in the beautiful King James, sirs, would we want to see Jesus. Andrew, here he is. Wouldn't that be a great thing to be painted over your life? I just drag people to Jesus. I'm second. He's first, right? That's all I do. That's Andrew. Andrew's mentioned a couple times in the scriptures. That's it. You don't need a big profile. He's just known as the guy who brings people to Jesus. It's amazing. And then something very unusual shows up in the passage, and I love this. A little boy, like you, maybe a little girl, like Lily, and he brought his lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fish. You've seen the pictures in the flannel graph, us old people, and it's a nice plump bunch of loaves and big fat fish. You know, good old USA, eh? They produce all that stuff. It's always wrong. It's basically two sardines. Sorry, 2 crackers, 2 Ritz crackers and a bunch of little sardines. And Jesus looks at that offering from that little boy who says, all I have is yours. Isn't that great? All I have is yours, Jesus. I've heard about you. My mama gave me this lunch. My friends always say, where was his mom? Well, if mom was with him, if I know moms, if she's with him, she's pushing him, go give it to Jesus. If she's not with him, she's trained him. Whatever you are and whatever you have, just give it to Jesus and watch what happens. And I tend to add a little bit to the scriptures. Eli, don't get angry with me because I know you're a purist. But I got a picture of Jesus at that moment where that little boy says, here's what I have. I think Jesus kneels down beside a little kid and just quietly whispers, watch this. Just gently, watch this. And he gets the boys who are functional atheists because he needs to give them a good example of what to do. And he says to the boys here, I want you to start to give this out. Here's a cracker for you, Peter, because if you don't start, you're going to be jumping in there because you're always talking and answering the question. Peter, here's a cracker for you. Andrew, here's a sardine. Can you imagine that moment? Like, just get your head around that moment of, yeah. And it doesn't run dry. But Jesus did something after he whispered in the little boy's ear. And what was that? Bible scholars, what did he do? What did he do with that 5 loaves and 2 fish? I love that South African. You blessed it. He gave thanks. And in the Hebrew world, you give thanks like this. It's awesome. You take what God has given you. You look at the great God of the universe, and you hold it up. Now, we pray like this. My Muslim friends pray like that. Love the Jewish expression of prayer. You're just so big. I'm just so small. Take this. And he says, thank you. And he stands before the grave of Lazarus. And they said, it's been 3 days. He's dead. He stinks. It's over. And he says, I thank you, Lord, that you always hear me. Lazarus, come forth. And he raises him from the dead. If you look at the pattern of Jesus, it's always overflowing with thankfulness. Be joyful always. Pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, not for everything, because sometimes life is nasty. in circumstance. And he says, thank you. I will take that 5 loaves and 2 fish, the meagerest offering, and I'll bless thousands of people. That's the good news. The bad news is, my friends, is it's broken and poured out. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. See, you and I, like that bread and like that fish, are going to be broken and poured out, used of Jesus to bless the masses. And as I recall, no one came back and said thank you. Broken bread, poured out wine for others. And most of you in this room, you know what that feels like. To be broken and poured out. And that's what we signed up for. But when you watch Jesus use you and me to change the world, whether it's on social media or whether it's under the fig tree on a quiet sunny afternoon giving someone a smile, he will take your offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish and change the world. And you may feel some days, all I got, Lord, is 5 loaves and 2 fish. All I am is a little boy. And Jesus says, watch this. He's a good God. He's a good friend. I'm going to leave you with that. Any man, any woman, any girl, any boy can be used of God greatly if you just say, all I am is yours. And he said, I began a good work in you. I'm going to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I begin it. I carry it on. I finish. It is no longer you or I who live, but Christ who lives in us. The life we live in this body, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and died for us. And this is the first hour and a half service we have ever had since COVID, and you made it! And you're all ready for pork, I guess. There's a big feast ready for everyone to eat it. So stand up and say this with me, please, and look into someone's eyes as you say it. This is how we do doxologies now. You find someone, you look them in the eye. All right? This is how we do it. While I'm here till December, then you can change anything you want. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It has not even entered into the imagination of man. What God has prepared for those who love him. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this place and for bringing these people here. Thank you that you are beyond what we could ever ask or think. And we just want to humbly come into your presence and say, here we are. Take our lives, take our offerings, take our gift set, and take our weaknesses. Use them for your glory this week and forevermore. For we ask it in the name of the one who saved us, King of kings, Lord of lords, our precious Jesus. Amen. Someone should be coming up to rescue me now. Or we got a song? Yeah, we need a song. Little, what do you got revved up, brother?
All right, we got a song to follow this up. I was so conflicted. There's just so many great songs. I wasn't sure what to share.